Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner. You can donate to the show using PayPal or Venmo. You go to the websites, you find out where I'm doing stand-up comedy. Rangers of the Dork Forest, I love you dearly, and thank you so much. Feel free to go to Apple, rate and review the show. 5 stars would be great. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and wrote that song that you just heard, and he will be singing at the end, the Mexican Hat Dance. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio and video, and we thank all the stars for that. Let's get into the show. Jackie Cation here in my living room. It's the Dork Forest Rangers. You're familiar with it. There's 1,000 episodes. So sitting with me, though, is Macy Isaacs, very funny stand-up comic. You might want to look into going to see her talk out loud in person. You're going to be November at the House of Comedy opening for Shane Torres, that I know, in Plano, Texas. And you can follow her on Instagram, all kinds of reels. You could get some free comedy, and then why don't you just Venmo her? But Macy Isaacs is on the Dork Forest. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
Oh, thank you so much for having. I am very excited to be here.
Well, it's an attainable goal, and you've attained it. So we're happy to have you. Happy you're here. Your dorkdom, hilariously, is Elvis Presley.
Yes. And I was thinking, I've been a dream of mine to be on this and talk about Elvis.
Oh,
and I know. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm not ready. One day I'll be ready, but not yet. And then I got anxious that someone else was going to beat me to it, which already happened 10 years ago.
10 years ago, he did Elvis's Last Night, I think he did. Wasn't that, what's his name?
James P. Connolly.
Oh, James P. Connolly. But even before him, there was so funny Seattle comic. Feel free to look up. He also he did three. He did Elvis's Last 24 Hours, Anne Frank for some reason, okay. And Pete Best from the Beatles.
He's got quite a range.
It was a bit of a range. My favorite, the best thing I remember from that episode is that he told the story of listening to Anne Frank's diary on. Book on tape. That's how long ago that episode
was. Now, did she record that?
She did not, but he had forgotten that she died at the end.
Well, that's kind of lovely.
So he was literally driving, sobbing. And he was like, I cannot believe. And I was like, wait, you what? And he goes, I know. All I could think was, who would kill a 16-year-old? And I'm like, Nazis.
Yeah,
Nazis.
Right.
Over and over again. That was one of their go-to.
That's one of the main stories. I know how it ends before I start. I know that one, but he missed it.
Right. He did miss out on that one. Now, but Elvis Presley, you got the rest of his life. He only did that last 24
right.
hours. And James P. Connolly, I'll have him back on. He could talk about anything, quite honestly.
Yeah. And I listened to his episode, I think it was just yesterday. And that was fascinating because he sounded like Elvis.
Okay.
And you ended up talking about it a little bit because he's from the LA area. And I'm like, this guy has a Southern drawl and he sounds like Elvis. And he talks about how that Elvis just sort of, it's just a part of him.
It just came and lived inside of him.
Which is what Austin Butler. I don't know. Did you see the Elvis movie a couple years ago?
I didn't.
Last year. Yeah.
Right.
He still talks like Elvis, that guy. He's getting
a
lot
actor?
Of. Mm-hmm. He can't shake it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he gets a lot of flack for it.
Right, he might want to play like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, mix it up.
That'll
the extremes.
That'll shake it out of him. So Elvis Presley, the only thing I know about Elvis, I mean, my brother Russ, huge Elvis Presley fan. He's been on the show a couple, just once, actually, Hallmark movies. He turned me on to Elvis movies a long time ago. And so I watched most of them, except for the ones where Elvis got to act, because I didn't want a sad sack Elvis movie. I wanted a vaguely misogynistic Elvis movie. That's all I'm looking for in my 1950s and 60s rom-com.
Absolutely. You want a little slapping around.
Well, just feel free. Like, you've got mail. That is a movie that is entirely about gaslighting.
Yes.
He is lying to her for an hour and 12 minutes.
Uh-huh. That's right. Uh-huh.
So, but thoroughly enjoyed it, I believe, at the time. Only see the trouble now. And it pulls me out of the movie a little bit.
I know. That is the hard thing about Elvis movies sometimes is there's Jailhouse Rock is, you know, one of the better ones probably, but his character in it is so disgusting.
What? Wow. Bark, bark. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. My dog barked.
He disagrees.
He disagrees. Well, he was that was one of his finest.
That was fair.
I can't remember Jailhouse Rock. I remember the song, of course, but what is
he just is kind of like, he gets in a bar fight in the beginning and he acts like he's protecting this woman. And the character is very misogynist, I think. And not all of them are, but I will say I watched most of them as a child and I'm afraid to revisit them.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. A lot of the Rock Hudson Doris Day movies are exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, So what? Talk to me about what made you love. The other thing I know is that he's from Mississippi.
He is.
And Andy's entire family is from like a rock's throw's distance from where he grew up, outside
really cool.
of Tupelo. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Has Andy been to where he grew up? The house?
That is an interesting question. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
I have not. And it's part of when I go back to Graceland for the fourth time, I want to do the Tupelo trip as well. I've been thinking a lot about like my relationship with Elvis, because when I was listening to the James P. Connolly episode, he knew a lot of facts.
Right.
And I feel like I know more facts than the average person.
Yeah.
I protected myself. And then I've been reading a lot about, I think it's called like parasocial relationships. So it's basically this relationship, right? That you have someone that you do not know.
Podcasting.
Exactly. So you kind of create a fantasy about who they are because you don't really know. And anytime, I remember I was in third grade and this frenemy of mine told me that he used to trade drugs or cars for drugs, which is not necessarily true.
No.
No.
That seems early.
It got me upset and I couldn't really defend it because I wasn't sure. And I broke down. So there were occasions where I just was like, you know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Elvis was trading cars, not the other person in third grade.
Oh gosh, Elvis,
not your 8-year-old.
I see now why you say that's early. that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
yeah, no.
It would have been late for Elvis.
Exactly.
It's okay. So yeah. So what we know about Elvis was that he was a young man, and for some reason he got drafted, and then it sort of interrupted his career. And then he came back from the army with a terrible drug problem.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah, pretty much. And I remember my comeback because I went home and I said, Mom, did Elvis have a drug problem? Like, I was just so upset. Right. And she goes, well, it was all prescribed to him. And so that was my comeback, it was all prescribed.
Oh, he didn't know any better. A doctor had told him
that
he should definitely take all of the drugs.
Which actually, I was kind of raised to just trust the doctors, so.
Well, I trust the doctors too, but I don't believe he was taking them as prescribed.
That's fair.
His doctor might have been a little bit on the take.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
but at 9 years old? That's all
that
I
was
had
a great
to say.
Answer. It was Thank a great you. Answer. Now, were your parents huge Elvis fans? Is that what got
Not
you into
really.
It?
I honestly don't remember. My sister says that I was about 2 years old and I saw a picture of Elvis somewhere and I just pointed and said him. And from then on, my mom and dad obviously introduced me to him, but it was, you know, my mom's more Beatles, my dad's more Bee Gees, so I was
Elvis. Sound That's like a, that's a mixed marriage.
It is. They're not together anymore, if you can believe it. But yeah.
I remember that joke.
It actually, but a formative time was when I went to in Oklahoma, that's where all my family's from. I was born in Texas, but they're all from Oklahoma. And I went to a family reunion and I met my great uncle. His name is Wendell Ware.
Okay.
Great Uncle Winky.
And Winky. That's a right. much better name than Wendell Wear.
I know, much better. Winky. So he had this huge, he was wearing like a tank top and he had this huge Elvis tattoo on his arm. And before this, I didn't know there was someone else in my family who was obsessed with Elvis like I was. I know. And I got very excited. I talked to him. He told me about, he used to sing Elvis songs and he still, I think, is a musician and sings.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then he gave me, so I was 9.
Okay.
He had his jeweler make this for me. It says TCB, so taking care of business. Yeah. And he gave it to me then. And he had a really big one. And
is that an Elvis saying?
It is, taking care of business. he had it.
What? I did not know that.
Yes.
This is a huge reveal.
TCB.
The first reveal of Jackie not knowing about, and a TCB mug of some sort. Is that his face? What is that?
Nah,
what kind of mug is that?
It's a tiki mug. It's not for water, but that's what I'm drinking out of. It's, you know,
it's
supposed
to
be like a cocktail. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a tiki drink, which doesn't exist in nature.
No.
But it has been co-opted and completely taking care of business. What did he mean? Do the job? Like sort of get it done?
Do the job. And then the lightning bolt meant in a flash. So the whole thing is taking care of business in a flash, which he really did in his life, if you think about it. He didn't live very long. So it was like
a
flash.
How old was he when he died?
I know he died in 77. I think he was 40 something.
Oh, he's in his 40s.
Yeah, he was.
That's plenty. If this were the Middle Ages, that would have been a full life.
Oh, yeah.
That just felt rude.
No, it's fine. He really did do everything he came to do. He was born in 70.
He was 42 years old. Interesting.
You got that fast. I was just trying to Google it, too.
Together, that's what the Dork Forest is sometimes about, you guys. Us double checking. If it were an actually, we would already have those answers. But it's not. It's the Dork Forest where we get the answers on the fly.
That's right.
Now, so you're so much like this had to be. So you're watching Elvis movies. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Elvis songs. Do you have favorite Elvis movies or songs?
My favorite movie that I haven't revisited because of the title is Kissin' Cousins.
That happens to be my favorite movie.
Really?
I loved Kissin' Cousins.
I loved it.
It does. It may not hold up.
I don't know.
But it was, is this the one where they do the, is that where they go to Florida and they squat?
That might be wrong. That dream.
You know what? That's Follow That Dream.
That's
my favorite one is Follow That Dream, which is also not a positive experience. If it is examined with a comb, if you were to get in there, yes.
You can't get in there.
Don't get in there.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it. Just think about the... So Kissing Cousins.
I liked it because they did the double vision, so they had two Elvises. So they
a blonde Elvis.
Exactly. So I think that's why I liked it. It was, you know, double the Elvis. I think probably the one that like stands the test of time and this maybe the best is Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, interesting.
I haven't seen that in a while, but I just feel like I remember watching that and being like, you know, it's Anne Margaret. It's the real deal.
Right. It's the real deal. Like they got Anne Margaret to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, that Follow That Dream. I'm also trying to remember the one where that the dogs are looking at each other, and I don't like it.
How many dogs?
Two dogs.
Okay.
Hey, Gordy, you already had yours, and so I'm giving Tyson his treat, and you should go lie down, Gordy. Lie down. See if that works. Gordy's the kind of dog, just so you know, offhand. Mm-hmm. Is that he's like, I'll think about it.
Got it.
I'll think about listening.
Is he a terrier?
He is a Chihuahua mix.
Okay.
And he is a dog that does not need to be pet. But if you need to pet him, he's available if you were to want to come over.
Well, that's selfless of him.
Yeah. So here's, that has been a small ad for my dogs.
And we're back.
That's what it's like doing it in the garage. This is what is that thing called where people you think you know somebody?
Where you think you know somebody?
Right, where it's that iteration that you were just talking about, how you have that for Elvis, where you think that you're friends.
Right, the parasocial, yes.
Yes, parasocial.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
This has been a glimpse into my parasocial.
That's right.
You kind of, and quite honestly, people who have listened to the Dork Forest definitely know me. They've got they've got some action. Do you remember which Elvis Presley movie it was where he played the son of a very wealthy man, mm-hmm. an oil guy?
Blue Hawaii. He was the son of like a pineapple, which is basically
really?
Hawaiian oil, I think.
Right. It's Clam Bake.
Oh, Clam Bake. Okay.
Yeah, because Bill Bixby is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't remember Bill Bixby because it was something about Eddie's father. He was in a sitcom back in the 12th century, the 70s. And and I loved it as a child because Bill Bixby.
Which sitcom?
It was called Eddie's, something about Eddie's father.
Oh, okay.
And and Bill Bixby, of course, also played the Hulk, if I remember correctly. So he played the Hulk in the TV show The Incredible Hulk. And he was also, if I remember correctly, in Blossom. He was in The Bride of the Incredible Hulk. That feels just like a cash grab, if that's all right, if I just say
sort of like a Kissing Cousins, yeah.
Kind of a Kissing Cousins. So what else did you love? I'm just going to keep looking.
Oh, please. Well,
you talk.
I did go. I went to Graceland for the first time when I was about 12.
Oh, really? And where did you grow up? Did you grow up near?
I was in
Memphis?
Austin. So okay. No. Yeah. But still down there.
But still down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really funny because at the time they had this hotel called the Heartbreak Hotel. And it was across the street from Graceland. And that's in my memory. It may have been the same side, but in my memory, it was across the street. And
you were 12.
I was 12. And it was me, my mom, my dad, and one of my sisters. We walked in and it was so run down that it was bad. And we left. And my dad, I remember like afterwards, he would tell people about it and he would say, yeah, we stayed at the Heartbreak Hotel, and man, it really was a heartbreak. And it always got a laugh. People loved that.
Just now, got
they
a laugh.
Still got
even
a
though
laugh.
I saw it coming.
You saw it.
It was right there. He was telescoping it. It is literally the only joke available. But it is will always be funny.
Yeah.
So
sadly, the Heartbreak Hotel is not there anymore. Didn't make
okay.
it.
Okay.
And now it has the guest house at Graceland, which I stayed the last two times I've been more recently.
You can stay at Graceland?
Well, it's called the guest house at Graceland. It's just a hotel that's down the road, but it makes you feel like you're in the guest house, you know, which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first time. And now they've built, I highly recommend, so you haven't been, right?
I have actually been once.
Oh,
I was going to ask you the difference. Yeah, we went to the museum, the Civil Rights Museum, and we went to Graceland, and we stayed at the hotel where the ducks walk up the road.
Yeah, the Peabody.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I've been to Memphis, and we did not have any barbecue.
Oh,
so many things were done. Some things were missed. It's a reason to return.
Exactly. You got to have a reason to go back.
So the first time you went was when you were 12.
Mm-hmm.
The next. Okay. How old were you in these different times? I am kind of curious as an overview.
Fair.
Yeah.
So I was 12, around 12 the first time. The second time I went on my bachelorette party. So before I got married, I took all my girls there. And it was
awesome.
So fun. Like, and people were worried. I mean, it was not easy to get to Memphis. There were layovers. Okay.
You
think it'd be
right.
It's not.
There's very few direct flights to Memphis. Yes.
And I think a little of them were worried. They're like, we're going to be stuck in Memphis for a weekend where it's going to take forever to get there. What are we going to eat? Do they have almond milk? I remember one of my friends was trying to get almond milk. And so everyone's worried. Ended up being like the best trip. They were crying at the end of this tour. Okay. They couldn't.
Right.
It was amazing.
So you always pay for the tour?
Yes. So my sister actually treated all of us. She was the matron of honor.
That's it. Yes. That's it.
So she treated us all to a little tour.
So you went when you were a child, and then you've been three more times as an adult.
Well, one more time then, and then another time I went. So this is crazy.
Okay.
I met Priscilla Presley. Crazier than the best. No. I know.
Yeah. How did that happen?
So I was getting my hair cut at a place that I've been getting my hair cut for years.
Okay.
And I see her behind me, and I'm like, that can't be.
Right.
And there's no way. And then I'm like, and I sort of get sick to my stomach. I'm like, oh God, I didn't bring any Pepto. What's happening? And I asked the woman, Sammy, who does my hair. I was like, is that Priscilla Presley? She's like, oh yeah, she comes here like every other Friday for years. And I was like, what? And she goes, oh, you love Elvis. I forgot. And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, I'll introduce you guys. Like, no problem. I was like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. So she took my phone. The woman who cuts my hair took all the pictures of me meeting Priscilla. I can't.
She is a great,
best.
Yeah. That's someone who really sort of gets it. Yeah. When you're like, if this isn't everybody, like I wouldn't lose my mind over so few people.
Yes.
But I'm like, if you know that if I get to meet Dick Cavett, somebody better take a fucking picture of it, because I am a giant Dick Cavett nerd.
I was going to ask you who that would be for you.
It's Dick Cavett. it's a weird thing. And Dave Hill knows Dick Cavett. And I would like to, I should just fly and hang out with Dave Hill for a week so that he can somehow give Dick Cavett, who's got to be 90 years old, several options to have lunch with Dave Hill. And then I could just drop by.
Absolutely.
It could happen. Dave Hill's going to do this program in about 3 weeks.
I see it in the future. I really do.
Oh, God, I'm hoping. Anyway, so Priscilla Presley, totally nice. Very polite.
Totally nice. Sweet. I was wearing my necklace. I showed it to her. There's like a picture of her like holding my necklace. It's amazing. And I told her, I was like, I actually just got back from Graceland. I was with my group of friends from a bachelorette. And she goes, well, has your husband been? And I said, no. And she goes, I'm going to take care of you. You and your husband are going to get, yes.
What?
Yes. She's like, I'm going to set you up. Here's my assistant's number.
That's it.
That's it. And it was one of those times where I was like, I think I have to go kill myself because it doesn't get better than this. Like, I'm used to depression being different. This was the opposite, but it was still kill myself.
Right. That is weird. That is weird that both roads lead to that.
Isn't
Macy
that interesting?
Isaacs. Interesting. Not the word a lot of people would say, but it is interesting. You're not wrong.
Sure. Yes. And I mean, I, of course, wait till after I go to Graceland for the third time, but still it was like nothing can top this.
So you and your husband, do you go right away? So it doesn't
COVID
expire?
Happened.
Oh,
right. I'm not kidding. It was like right then. So I'm like, okay, well, in a couple weeks, whenever that dies down. A month, whatever. Yeah. So I keep like thinking, oh, and then, you know, it's like, oh, this isn't happening anytime soon. But I always email, like every few months, I email the assistant, just don't forget about me.
Right. Just checking in, making sure
I exist you do still. Not. That,
right. I yes. totally. It was like sending a veils.
Exactly. I was sending my veils. Which was a veil, but not a veil. Exactly.
A veil, but the world isn't a veil, it turns out. Exactly. So when did it happen?
So it finally happened 22, I believe. We're in 23.
Yep. We're in 23. Yep.
So, so that was amazing. Like, well, at first I went and I said, you know, oh, tickets under Macy Isaacs. And like, we don't have any tickets under that name. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, who gave you these tickets?
Yeah.
It's like, I hate to say this.
Boom. I don't think you understand who I know or who I've met one time for 7 minutes.
Exactly. Oh, I will say something that was also incredible was during that time where I was afraid Priscilla was going to forget about me.
Yeah.
We happened to also get a haircut at the same time again. So I did wait. We were masked and I waved to her and I said, it's me again. I'm going. Don't worry, I'm going.
It's me again.
Yeah.
So have you thought about having mugs and that could be your saying?
It's me again.
Taking care of business, lightning. It's me again, lightning.
In a flash, just in and out. I like that. I was thinking for the Dork Forest, your TDF would be a cool taking care of business little.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be. But I'm always just thinking. I'm always thinking about merch.
I love that because I don't have any merch.
And you don't? Do you have any Elvis stories? I mean, this could be a good Elvis story.
I need to make it on
the stage.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, mugs with "It's me again."
It's me again.
Lightning bolt.
I mean, I'm writing it down. I
have also written it down.
Okay,
I'm here obviously for product suggestions. I do it. Lori Kilmartin has a centaur with her drawn with her sitting on top of it. And she made t-shirts and I was like, no one's gonna. But then I thought, you know what they would buy is a travel mug done like a Greek urn in that sort of burnt orange color with the centaur with Lori riding on top of it with a wraparound.
Wow.
I would buy it. I would buy that. I would love to use a Lori Kilmartin sitting on a centaur travel mug.
Place. I mean, I never thought about it, but that's actually how I always picture her. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good. I think she pictures herself underneath that centaur. Dick joke. Dick joke alert. I'm here.
It's me again.
Anyway, so you get there and you tell her that Priscilla Presley has left you these tickets.
Exactly. And then they're like, okay, go to that window. I'm like, okay. So I go to the other window. Everything's sorted out. It was interesting, though, because the Presleys have really been through it. I saw, because the second time I saw Priscilla was right after her grandson passed away.
Oh, right.
He killed himself.
That's right.
And then not too long ago, sweet Lisa Marie passed away.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's been a tough time.
Do you have the family breakdown here? Elvis was married to Priscilla.
That's it.
And that's it. And they had Lisa Marie.
Lisa Marie had a few.
She had several.
Yes.
Okay. So thank God there's someone there to inherit that generational wealth.
Oh, Riley. I should know how to pronounce this. It's either Keo or Ko. I've heard it both ways. She's an actress.
Okay.
And she's now kind of the sole person in charge of it all.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know how it is with monarchies. She's going to have to somehow have a bunch of children so that it doesn't somehow resort to the state and then have to be used for education or something.
Right. We don't want that at all.
In Tennessee, who needs that kind of?
No.
Dolly Parton's already there trying to help.
I do really want to go to Dollywood.
You've never been to Dollywood.
I've never been to Dollywood.
Okay. So we're going to go backwards.
Yeah, of course.
And just talk about this. This was a curated tour of the Elvis of Graceland, this last one that you went to with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You were taken to were special areas or you were told special things or any of that?
You know, it was the same exact tour I had before.
Oh, really? Just free tickets?
Just free tickets. So really the VIP is, there's no real, it's.
So, yeah. You know, so
there's a level.
Right. So the story is really the fact that she was willing to spend, you know, give you $70 worth of free tickets.
Exactly.
Good for her. I'm not saying she doesn't have it, but it is a nice touch.
It's a nice touch. But the same exact tour.
And was it, do you think that it has changed the insides? Have they changed it or done anything since you were 12?
The insides have not changed, except that now you wear headphones and John Stamos guides you through the house.
Yes.
I would say that's a big upgrade.
That's a nice touch. Yeah.
And it's a nice little iPad thingy. It's really nice. And then the big difference, though, is the museum across the street. That wasn't there when I was 12.
Oh, I do not know that museum.
Yeah. And they have Vernon's Barbecue, because his dad's name was Vernon, and Gladys's Diner. Mom's name is Gladys. And it's a bit more, there's just more to do. It's still a day thing, but now you can go see all his jumpsuits and see, like, they kind of do like a remodel sort of thing of the Sun Records, which is also good to see in Memphis. But
Right. They
have, yeah, it's really cool.
It sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me that here's the thing. All of his jumpsuits, I don't think those were in. The one time I've been, we went. And first of all, Graceland's smaller than I thought it would be.
I know.
Because it's a mansion. And everyone called it a mansion. But as I said to Andy, it looks like a McMansion. It looks like what everyone's building now. And Andy Ashcraft, at one point during that day, said, never say that again.
I totally get what you're saying, though.
right. And I get what he's saying.
I like, do, too.
My apologies. Mm-hmm. And then his grave is also there. And then there's a room that's done entirely in jungle print. I remember. It's called the Jungle Room. All right.
My dream is to one day, because I have so much Elvis merchandise, that I have a jungle room of my own. And I can just put up all my Elvis stuff and just make it really kitschy. And
do you know, now I'm going to digress and talk about me for a second. Well,
please.
Here, let's do this right at the halfway mark here. There might be an ad here, you guys. You don't know. Was there? Maybe not. Anyway, here's a scoop. I was once, first of all, kitschy jungle room reference makes me think of this. Hong Kong. That's right. I've been to Hong Kong. I did a show in one of those in the last, like, it's like when Hong Kong was a British protectorate, right? Which is fancy for they were colonists, right?
Uh-huh.
So there was there's an amazing hotel there that is super, super shishi. Like, think Crazy Rich Asians. And in the basement of that was a place where there was stand-up comedy. Why wouldn't there be? And I performed in that place, and it was a lot like the Jungle Room. And my favorite thing about it was done in sort of this white hunter decor. Like Livingston, I presume. Like, it was done in this weird white hunter decor, which cannot be cool, but was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, because it was all fake. It was like there was bearskin rugs, but they were fake bearskin rugs. I have a picture of myself with my head inside a lion that has been mounted on the wall, his head. But it's not an actual lion. It's a plushie.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
This is great. And nobody's upset because no animals died.
No animals died.
Yeah.
And they literally are like, this is ridiculous. We're having a lovely time remembering when we were under the thumb of the empire. And now we kind of wish for when we were under the thumb of that empire, because we're under the thumb of a different empire. And that empire is a little bossier.
Right.
So here's the other thing I thought of. Okay. This thing with the jungle room has also made me remember, and the jumpsuits, because I want to talk about this other museum across the street. Memphis loves a museum across the street, by the way. And
that's their t-shirt.
It's Las Vegas used to have the Liberace Museum. And I went there three times the last week that it was there, because I happened to be booked in Vegas and they were closing it. And Liberace is from West Allis, Wisconsin. So one of my grandmothers used to always say about Liberace, stone cold serious she was too, he just never found the right girl.
It's so true.
It is factually very, very true. He wasn't looking real hard. And so there you go. But there is now a Liberace Museum, I think, up in they moved it to, weirdly enough, outside of Oshkosh, I think, Wisconsin. Bagosh. And
that's what I think of.
And but I got to see all of his rings and six of his cars, one of which was from the bicentennial year, 1976. That he had covered in red, white, and blue rhinestones.
Oof.
You get a chance. You get a chance to go to the Liberace Museum, Maisie Isaacs. I think you would enjoy it.
I got to check this out. I got to see it.
Right. Now, by the way, I am talking with Macy Isaacs, and it is at Macy Isaacs, M-A-C-E-Y-I-S-A-A-C-S. That's her Instagram. She's going to be in Plano, Texas, opening up for Shane Torres, which will be a delightful show because both of them are very, very funny. Okay. So next up, the museum across the street.
Museum across the street, which
and now, also a diner and a barbecue
and a barbecue joint. And is it the best diner or barbecue joint? No, but that's not why you're there.
No, it is not.
No,
That's a pity though, because they could. It would be nice if it were amazing.
It would be very nice. But there's plenty of good barbecue in Memphis somewhere else. Yeah. You know, I doubt they want to even try to compete.
Yeah, just one meal. Just one meal. It's not the end of the world.
It's just to get you through the rest of the tour.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And the jumpsuits.
Incredible.
Are they all late Elvis? Are they late Elvis jumpsuits?
Yeah. And I feel like most of the jumpsuits were late sort of Elvis. Those were kind of post, in my mind at least, those were post the comeback special.
Right. Which is what was when?
That was 68, I believe. 68, 69. And I love, that's my favorite album probably.
Oh, really?
That special he did. Yes. It's phenomenal. Okay. And actually, I mean, I have a playlist on Spotify I've been working on for years of my favorite. It's like 10-ish hours long of all my favorite Elvis songs.
Okay.
So we can make that available.
We can. For me, I would like you to make available your favorite 8 songs.
8.
Ooh, 8.
Okay.
Do you know why? And I tell this story every time someone talks about music. Murray Valeriano, a delight, did a Dork Forest about you too, and gave me 356 megs of U2 songs.
Right.
And as he handed it to me, I said, "What you're doing is giving me a free USB stick. Because I'm going to wipe this and never listen to any of it. You can give me 8 songs. 8 songs. That's all you can do. That's as many as I can listen to.
Okay.
The playlist. I could just listen to the first 8 songs of your playlist and that'll be fine.
That's true.
I do like Elvis. There was an Elvis song where he took, I think, a Martin Luther King speech.
Oh.
Do you know that one?
That is not ringing a bell, but I haven't done the Civil Rights Museum like you have.
Oh, right. Well, somebody, I think it was, it is on this list, you guys. I have a curated list on Amazon Music because I'm a nerd. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally just joined Amazon Music when I joined Amazon Prime. And then that's what's happening there. So I'm going to actually I wonder if I can search. Probably not. Okay, there we go.
I mean, my favorite song of his is If I Can Dream, which kind of has a MLK feel to it.
I think that might be the song that he took from the from
that
the
would
thing.
Make sense. I actually walked down the aisle to that song when I got here.
It's so funny that that they pick like walk-on music.
I know.
That's interesting. So I have to say that I walked down the aisle to an OJ's song called Forever Mine. Mm-hmm. And have you ever heard something called Early Morning Rain, Take One?
Yes.
Okay. These are weird. When you look up a song, you should get the songs that you own. And that is but that's sadly not what you get.
No. So you own the one though that you're looking for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I own the one. It's an Elvis Presley MLK mix. Nope. That doesn't work. Okay. But I will say that it might be that song that's your favorite. What are the lyrics? How does it go?
It's If I Can Dream of a Warmer Sun. Or, you know, If I Can Dream of All My Brothers Walk Hand in Hand, Tell Me
That's
Why.
That's the song.
Oh, why?
That's
the
yeah. Yes.
That's it.
And why can't it be real? Why can't it be true? Yes. That I was told I was taken from not only did he co-opt African-American music, he took an actual half a speech.
Yeah.
But good for him. Mm-hmm. But I think he employed a fair number of people, and he's dead now.
He did. So. And I'm also another reason why I really wanted to do this interview now is the Priscilla movie is coming out next month. And that is a Sofia Coppola film based on Priscilla Presley's book.
Okay.
I have this feeling that it's not going to paint Elvis and the best. But I also don't know because Priscilla, you know, her family makes a lot of money off of, you know, the Elvis.
Right. She doesn't want to give the cash cow a black eye.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I just have a weird, and this is the parasocial thing again. I've created who I want Elvis to be in my mind, and it sometimes rubs against maybe the truth.
I have always said this with it's kind of parasocial sounds like it's how you have to make peace with your own parents.
Yeah. Parent social. Yeah.
Right. Is the fact that because there are things that they've done and there's things that they haven't done that will drive us nuts forever if we obsess about it. Mm-hmm. And you just have to sort of look for the things that they did right and the things that you like about them and love about them. Mm-hmm. And then sort of leave the rest behind, except for as in the back of your mind going, well, I'm not going to do that. I remember learning how not to cheat people. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was something. And my father would claim that he never taught us to cheat. And I was like, well, I wouldn't.
Lead by example.
There's example. And then there's the church candles, Dad. Mm. He once asked us, Darla and I were selling church candles and we were doing great. And they were stacked all over the house. And he was like, are you guys making any money on this? And we're like, no, Dad, we're selling candles for church. And he goes, all right, how much are you selling them for? We go, $3.50 each. He said, well, now you're going to sell them for $5. And that's how we learned how to skim off the top.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Which I hope he's, that's entrepreneurial, I think, also.
Right.
So.
Well, and that's how it was sold. That's how it was sold over and over and over again. They're getting their cut. That's how it was sold. So,
Yeah. So it is. It's like it's long as they don't go into the monster territory. I don't know. It's very. It's a hard time.
Yeah.
But,
It was the courtship of Eddie's father. By the way, 30 minutes later, just going to be talking about that.
Okay.
Courtship of Eddie's father is the name of that TV show I liked.
Quite the title.
Right, and it was Bill Bixby. He was the single dad. A widower, not divorced, of course.
Okay.
Nope. And then, but you said that, so the comeback album, all right. So what I want to do is I want to just bring up a playlist, and there's the Legacy album. There's, I don't know what we're on the 68 comeback.
It's the 68 comeback special. Does that come up on your Amazon Music?
Yeah.
That's the one to listen to.
Okay. That's the one.
That's it.
But his voice is a little, it's like mine, right?
It does change as he gets older. It gets lower. I used to, when I was younger, I liked his younger stuff, but now I like his older stuff.
Oh, interesting. That's great. It's sort of, you've matured along with your taste on it.
I sure have.
There's literally 19 songs on this thing, so that's pretty great.
And it's cool because there are a lot of, they're live, and so you can hear him interacting with the audience, and
that's
really cool.
Do you know that for my bachelorette party, my friend TJ Ford was like, I want to go to Vegas for your bachelorette party, because she was, and I was like, I have never wanted to go to Vegas. Why would I want to? She was like, here's what I want to do in Vegas that you will want to do. I want to go to the Star Trek exhibit and bar Quark's Cafe, which was still open, and we did, and it was delight. And then she said, and I want to take you to Barry Manilow. And I was like, I'm not a huge Barry Manilow fan,
doesn't matter,
but it's amazing to see Barry Manilow. So we had kind of the time of our lives. It was an amazing gathering.
Vegas is very interesting like that. Like it can, I was just in Vegas. I was doing comedy a couple, or it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It ended up being a lovely time, but it can be terrible. Did you do the Cellar? No, I did the LA Comedy Club. I did a festival.
Oh, good.
The LA Comedy Club.
Then there's more people to hang out with a festival.
Exactly. And I had a friend there. Yeah. It was,
Because it could be it could be the loneliest place on the earth, on the planet. It's weird.
I went and I got a coffee at 5 p.m. and she said, good morning. I was like, what? And she was like, oh, whatever. And I was like, that's completely fair. She was like, time doesn't exist here. I'm like, yeah, but like you live here. Like this is your life.
Right, right. And if you could get off the strip, there's an amazing restaurants and coffee shops and all kinds of things. And the Comedy Cellar, I found this out. You can park for free for as long as the Rio is still standing. Wow. If you work at the Comedy Cellar. So there's part of me that's kind of still willing to work at the Comedy Cellar.
Absolutely. Have you when's the last time that you were in Vegas?
6 weeks ago.
Okay. So were you shocked by the Uber Lyft situation?
How expensive it was, or
that and the pickup. So they won't pick you up on
normal.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere is an airport.
Yes.
Like you have to kind of take a shuttle to go get your, it's weird.
I know.
There's certain exits that you can only go to and you're like, it's just a ride. And there's the street, right?
Can I just get in the car? And like, yeah. No.
No.
I'm like, okay. Okay. So I'll follow the car by foot. And you'll show me where to go.
Right.
That was jarring. I had no idea.
Oh, my God. So as we come into our last 15 minutes of Elvis talk, you dressed as Elvis?
Yeah, I did.
Halloween or just good times?
Many Halloweens.
Oh, many Halloweens.
Many Halloweens. It was kind of a go-to for me. And in seventh grade, so I was in student council. And we have a talent show every year. And I somehow got it. I persuaded everyone to make it Viva Las Vegas themed.
All right.
I know. So we were going to do a little Elvis impersonation contest in the middle, little halftime show. And I was not going to perform because to me that was unfair.
Oh, because you had all the accoutrements?
Yeah.
You had too much?
This is unfair. Mm-hmm. This was my idea. Like, I'm not going to put myself in my own thing, you know?
Right, right, right.
And then, but one of my teachers are like, you should just bring the costume as backup because I don't know if we're going to have anyone competing.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Oh,
what
right.
if no one shows up, right?
Exactly. So day of, only two people are in. So my teacher's like, no, you need to put on the jumpsuit and let's go.
White? Is it a white jumpsuit?
It's a white. It's a very, classic white. It's like if you were to go on Amazon.
Fringe?
No, I wish. If I do it, when I do it again, I'm going to do a fringe.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was more just like the eagle bedazzle.
Okay.
Yeah. And I put on I remember I was in the locker room. I put on the suit. I even added hairspray to the hair and walked out. And I was going against a kindergarten girl. And like a sixth grade boy. And he scared me because his hair was naturally kind of perfect. And I was like, oh no. And I was like,
I like that you were scared.
Oh, I was scared.
Because you might not win.
Yes. Even though I went into it being like, it's not fair because I will win. And now I'm scared. So we get up there and I remember this kid, I was like, oh, do you even know who Elvis is? And he's like, well, he's the king of rock and roll. And I was like, that's a dumb answer. I thought. Mm. Because to me, it was like, that's just what your mom said to say. You know,
right?
Anyone asks. That's all you know? Okay. So then we take the stage. We have to go up there and kind of just like do a little, you know, impression. I hit it out of the park. I mean, it's a no-brainer. But the kindergartner was cuter.
Oh, there you see. It's very hard to beat a 5-year-old dressed as anything.
I know.
Yeah.
And so it ended up being an applause-o-meter situation. And, you know, it was like everybody for Macy. And, you know, I was in seventh grade. So a lot of my friends, it wasn't even cool to be at the talent show.
Right.
I didn't really have a crowd there.
You wasn't, yeah, wasn't what you could, you didn't stack the audience stack, like,
yeah, no.
Like Fluffy did in 2003 right. with his Comedy Central special.
Exactly. Or what every Bringer show I tried to do, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wasn't expecting to perform. Mm-hmm. And then this kindergartner just gets the biggest applause. I mean, beats the boy too. And mm-hmm. I ended up writing my college essay about that loss. And it was so funny because I remember when I went in on an interview for a college, they're like, oh my God, you're the Elvis. They like remembered the losing. Yeah. That was me.
That'll get you the interview at least.
Yeah. Got me an interview.
Right. Where'd you go to college?
I ended up going to Pepperdine.
All right.
So not
that's right
here.
That's right here in the Los Angeles area.
That's right. So that was me being Elvis.
That was you being Elvis. Mm-hmm. I called my father right before I meant to call my brother Russ, big Elvis fan. But my father was, you know, he is of an age mm-hmm. with Elvis Presley. So I had to talk to him for a second. And so I said, I'm about to interview someone about Elvis Presley. What do you got for me? And he goes, well, I once owned blue suede shoes.
Heck yes.
Is that something? And I was like, what about him? What about him? He said, well, it's a funny story is that I, and by the way, know in your hearts that this is probably not the pair of shoes that this happened to, but this is the story. Mm-hmm. It's possibly Hassan emotionally true.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably, it's a way that it's okay to do this kind of change, especially, but I'm not on, it's not, just tell the story,
you.
Jackie. Just
I
tell
know,
the story.
I'm with you.
Here's how my dad told the story. I got blue suede shoes. I dropped them off to be repaired. The heels were down, so I had to get the heels replaced, and I dropped them off at the shoe repair place, Johnny Walker, in Cudahy, who was owned by Elia Tamuzian or something like that, whatever his name is. And this was in 1954. I then joined the Navy.
Oh.
6 years later, 1960, your Aunt Helen's mom, Aunt Helen gave me a wallet, my Aunt Alice's mother, whatever. So
okay.
Helen Omartian gave him a wallet, a new wallet. So he's moving all of his stuff from his old wallet to his new wallet, and he finds the stub for the shoes. And so he goes to Johnny Walker, Elia Tamuzian. He goes, do you remember I left these shoes here? And the guy goes, yeah, new heels, right? And he goes,
wow.
Yeah, he said, yeah, I know where they are. And he goes, are they ready? And he goes, next Tuesday. And I was like, I don't know if that's even true.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's just the greatest story in the world. Blue suede shoes.
One of the best stories I've heard in a very, very long time.
1960, ladies and gentlemen.
I see myself later. In every person in that story. Like I see myself as, because I feel like I have clothes, like I consider the dry cleaner almost my second closet. Like I forget that I have. So it's like, I could imagine, you know, I'd go off and I'd come back and be like, oh my gosh, I found that stuff. But I can also see myself as a dry cleaner man being like, oh, I thought he was never coming. I thought he wasn't going to make it.
And there's rules now.
Now they throw that away.
They throw it away. They sell it. They bring it off to Goodwill.
I think you got three months now.
That's it. You don't have 6 years.
Ugh.
Granted, if I remember correctly, the population of the Earth was a lot less at the time, too. There was more space in 1960.
That is true.
Oh, it's so true.
That is so good. I feel like we need to get your dad another pair of blue suede shoes.
Andy bought him as a wedding gift to my father. Andy bought him a pair of blue snakeskin shoes.
Elvis would approve.
Yes, and my father wears them every time Andy comes to work.
Aww.
And he always gets himself tricked out, puts on the good shoe.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's another thing. All right. So I got to get my Andy to come have dinner with my dad before he dies. Gonna make a note of that.
That's good.
Hey, Dad,
Write that down.
Don't die until Andy has dinner with you again. Such a dick. Anyway, so, but the thing is I will forget. Everyone, yeah. Everyone's going to slip on a banana peel and die. So, do you want to just end it there on that cheerful note? No. So here's the scoop. When did you find out how Elvis died?
So I still don't love the story that he died on the toilet.
Well, that just seems gratuitous.
You're it
just
does, like, and it's like...
It seems tidy. Please die in the bathroom.
Right.
If you're going to die, it just then you could hose it down and you could start anew.
Anytime my dog has it. An accident, I hope it's on the tile.
On the tile! More merch, Macy Isaacs.
On the tile.
Actually, don't do that. That'd be... That's it, like...
It could be a good dog...
And
merch.
Quite honestly, it would sell like hotcakes. It would be like, I'm with stupid. It would sell so many great. If you would like to buy land, sell a t-shirt that says on the tile.
That's can you imagine how much land it would be in Memphis?
Right. In cash, $6,000. If you had $6,000 and you walked into Memphis, it's I haven't been to Memphis in a long time, but I picture Detroit, 1997. Is that?
No, that's, I think that's fair.
That might be fair.
But back to Elvis dying, it was weird because like I was also, when I was listening to James P. Connolly's, he remembers when Elvis died.
And for me, as a child. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, you know, he was already dead.
Right.
So it was almost as if he exists on another plane at the same time as me, you know?
Very, right.
Because he was never alive.
Ah, right, right. Yeah, I will tell you this, is that when he died, much like when everybody died in the 70s, I'm willing to stand by this, but I believe that everyone thought, oh, good, all of his movies will play. Because we didn't have cable. We didn't have, there was not even a Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was no way to see a movie that had aired a long time ago until Jimmy Someone Stewart died again.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
again.
You're like, again, well, I mean, right. They would show them sometimes, but you would be like, I remember the first time I saw You Can't Take It With You, which is a Jimmy Stewart, Claudette Colbert, I think, and it has everybody in it. It's one of the great, it's a great movie. It's a George Cukor or Frank Capra movie. And I missed the beginning of it. So I saw You Can't Take It With You. It was a great play. Jimmy Stewart and it was on PBS in the middle of the night. And I literally called that PBS channel station and left a message going, what the hell is that movie? I want to figure out how to buy that VHS. And then I bought that VHS.
There you go. Mm-hmm. But don't you feel like that was kind of a more magical time? Because like, I even think about when I'll sometimes listen to the real radio.
Yeah.
And a song comes on that I really like. And it's a really special moment.
It is a special moment. I get that on Amazon Music when there's suggested songs.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I should look at it like that.
Yeah. It's sort of like that where they're just like, well, you like these other songs. You might like this. It was, I mean, it's one of those sort of slice of life things where you don't know what's going to go away that you have like a weird memory of. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my mother-in-law about Party Lines because when people got phones, when the phone company first started installing telephones, there wasn't enough lines. Uh-huh. So you had to share a line with somebody. And so that would ring a different number of times. You'd be like, oh, three rings means I answer it. Two rings means Louise answers it. And if you were real quiet, you could pick it up and listen. And listen to other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And my brother Russ used to tell me that when my grandmother had one, she mostly just spoke Armenian. They hooked her up on the party line with someone who only spoke Polish. And so they couldn't listen in on each other's lines.
Okay, there you go.
That was the thoroughness of AT&T at that time.
Wow.
And or might have been Ma Bell at that time. But it was such a weird, and then when you'd get your own line, it was like kind of a big deal. because they put in enough phone lines that then you could get your own line and you didn't have a party line anymore. So there's a lot of, I'm surprised there isn't a party line Elvis movie. There's a party line Doris Day Rock Hudson movie that also, you got to watch that with a grain of salt.
That's all I got in my pocket.
That's it. Just salt grains saying, oh, I'm going to watch Pillow Talk.
Right.
And so, which is a lot like watching You've Got Mail, because in every movie, Rock Hudson gaslights her. So we're getting close here. Anything you want to talk about that we didn't talk about with Elvis?
I do love his Elvis, I mean, his Christmas album. I think his Christmas music is the best. And that really, like, I Blue Christmas came on just the other day, which proves to you, it doesn't have to be December.
No.
And I was transported. I realized I felt nostalgic for something that has never happened. And I was like, I think this is spirituality. And felt very, you know, it was like this, and it just like
connection
to like, what maybe you can't have on this earth. Right. It basically, I'm just saying it's a really good song.
Okay.
But it's his favorite Christmas song.
Blue Christmas.
Yes, to sing. But the whole Christmas album is really fantastic. And we're getting there. You know, it is October.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite honestly, I have on my airplane mix, which is what it's called on my phone. it's and I add songs to it. I just added Choose Your Fighter from Barbie.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
And I add to it, but I've been listening to this to the same. It's 100 songs that I listen to every time I enter an airport, so that I don't have to think. I can just stand in a line forever. Yes,
yeah,
yes. It really is a numbing. It's a beautiful numbing experience. Blue Christmas. I might listen to it right now because why not?
Exactly.
Macy Isaacs. It has been an hour. Thank you so much for talking to me about Elvis. This is awesome.
This was so much fun. Thank you. I hope it went by as quickly for you as it did for me.
Oh, completely. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Well, first of all, before I say the signature line of the end, which I forgot to do last episode, let me just say that Maisie Isaacs is spelled MacyIsaacs. She's on the Instagram. She's all over the internets. She's going to be in Plano, Texas in November, opening for Shane Torres at the House of Comedy. Thank you so much for doing the show. And now I'm going to say the thing. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
It was about Elvis.
Elvis Presley?
Presley, not Costello, not other Elvises, which I don't know.
There might be other Elvises, but there's only two that stand out, really.
It's true. It was Maisie Isaacs, Andy. It was Maisie Isaacs.
Oh, okay.
There's a very funny bit about how her parents never shared a room, and she went over to somebody's house when she was a kid, and their parents shared a room, and she was like, it's so sad how poor they are. And
yes,
she's a very funny comic and she loves Elvis.
They never
she's been
shared
three times.
A room.
Right.
Well, at least once.
Well, they shared a bed at least once are currently divorced.
Mm.
So that's how that spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Maisie Isaacs' parents no longer together. Anyway,
if
it was
you're
a
listening,
great episode.
Maisie Isaacs' parents.
Get back together. Parent trap this.
No.
Oh, no.
No, you don't.
Don't worry about it.
It'll be fine. You made the right choice. In the long run.
In the long run. When she was 12, they went to Graceland.
Oh, yeah.
When she got married in several years ago, whatever, they went there, her and her friends, for her bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
She got to meet Priscilla Presley.
Really? That's amazing.
Here, I think it was, they have the same hairdresser.
Oh.
And she said to Priscilla Presley, and her hairdresser helped her do it. Her hairdresser was like, well, that's right. You love Elvis. I'll introduce you. I'll take a picture. And like her hairdresser was on board, was the best, right?
That's amazing.
And Priscilla Presley said, oh, that's great. And she said, yeah, I've been twice. I went with my bachelorette party. And Priscilla Presley wait for it, said, has your husband been to Graceland? And she goes, no. And she said, well, I'll hook you up.
Wow.
And then Priscilla Presley's assistant was involved and hooked them up.
Well, that's pretty great.
It's pretty great. And then she ran into her.
This makes me want the episode to be about her fandom of Priscilla Presley.
Right. And it happened right before lockdown. So every 4 or 5 months, she would email Priscilla Presley's assistant going, don't forget about us, which I think is hilarious and adorable.
It is adorable.
It was great, and
they were not forgotten about.
They were not forgotten about. It all worked out.
And then they went,
and it was pretty great.
That is pretty great.
Was going to give me.
Hopefully, her husband appreciated.
Yes. He's a. Sounds like he's a good sport.
Also an Elvis fan.
I don't know. I hope so. Well, or at least
hopefully they're listening to some Elvis Presley.
Well, she tried to turn me on to something like 100 songs, and I was like, 11.
No. Right.
And then she said, how about just the Christmas album? And I said, I don't mind that.
Yes,
I don't mind
that at all. Christmas album is great.
Okay. Well, listen to the episode. Actually, this is the end of the show. You probably already listened to it, but I wanted to tell you about it because it's great.
It is great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?